The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. A lot to get to. We will have Mark Tucker with us later on in the show. Mark, I've spent some time with here over the last few weeks. He has been very troubled by what has been taking place in our country. We have not talked since Roger Goodell spoke on Friday afternoon. I want to get into it with Mark Tucker, former USC Trojan, was in L.A., grew up in L.A. during the Rodney King riots, and of course played in the NFL, played with the Rattlers, and for the last 20 years has been the offensive line coach at Hamilton High School. He was just given the Distinguished Frank Cush Honor Lifetime Achievement Award by the National Football Foundation Valley of the Sun chapter. So Mark Tucker will be with us at 10:35. Opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. That is with your life insurance. Have you taken some time in this time when you're at home, in this time where there is uncertainty? Are you certain about everything that is within your portfolio? If something were to happen to you today, you didn't come home tonight, would everything be handled the way that you would want for your loved ones? Maybe kids have come along, maybe just haven't sat around the last 10 years, 15 years and addressed your situation. You're taking a good, hard, long, deep dive look. That's at Sagicor Now. Just log on, get your free quote at Sagicor Now. That's Sagicor Now. We appreciate their support. Eric is with us. So Friday afternoon, I get off the golf course. I always put my phone away. I am not one of those that sits there on my phone because it's my mental cleanse period. And I go into a cold beer and cheeseburgers, and every last set is showing reaction to Roger Goodell and his video that we'll show here in a moment. But Roger Goodell doing a complete about face, my jaw hit the floor like this just didn't happen. I mean, it's great that it happened, but the arrogant NFL actually admitted we're wrong for the very first time. They'll change rules like they cannot figure out pass interference to save their life. They don't know if a judge in the sky is the way to go. You can have a pass interference call right in front of a referee like we saw happen to the New Orleans Saints, and it just goes by the wayside, and other examples too. So when I'm seeing what happened on Friday afternoon, where were you and what were your thoughts about Roger Goodell and Donald Trump? I mean, we'll get to Trump. About Roger Goodell and his statement on Friday.
I was at home and I was just trying to get off social media.
Yeah.
But right before I got off it, of course, I saw it, which dragged me back into it for the next hour. It's kind of sad that it took the NFL, the heart of the NFL and the stars of the NFL to quote unquote shake the NFL tree to sort of move along some progression when it comes to Roger Goodell and the thinking of the league. I was taken back by it. I thought Goodell was sincere with what he said.
A lot of people are cynical on this one.
True, but I mean, everyone's, you know, because he wasn't the first, because he was the second, he is going to open himself for criticism. If that video came out before Michael Thomas and Patrick Mahomes and Ezekiel Elliott and all the other stars, it would have been a completely different narrative. But in a way, Brad, I think like the NFL uniting, you could say, over the last few days is exactly what this country needs to do. And it's unfortunate that it happened in the timeline that it did, but at least it did happen.
So I think there's a lot there that I do agree with. I think that for context's sake, because it did happen late Friday afternoon. Usually when things happen late Friday afternoon, we in our industry call it, you know, a news drop or just trying to get it out of the way. But this was not something that was going to get out of the way. So for full context's sake, for those of you that haven't seen it, here is the video in total. It is 81 seconds long. This is what was released on Friday, so you can see it from start to finish with nobody telling you what to think one way or the other, as currently happens all over the place in society. So here is what the commissioner released.
It has been a difficult time for our country, in particular, Black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of Black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe Black lives matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much needed change in this country. Without Black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of Black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
So that is what the commissioner said on Friday afternoon. Now, we have to give this a little bit of backup, as Eric alluded to, that players were put together for a video. And it was actually, Peter King wrote about it today, which it was a fascinating recount. It was an employee, a 27-year-old employee within the NFL media group that was really frustrated and not happy and thought he was going to lose his job over the lack of action by the NFL. So he reached out to some NFL players, and before you knew it, a very, very well thought out, and we'll show this a little bit later in the show because I'm going to circle back on this, a very well thought out video by several players around the league was published due to a 27-year-old white male in Los Angeles sitting in his apartment saying, I need to do something because the people that I work for are doing nothing. So we'll have that a little bit later in the show. Now, you had Donald Trump respond last night, late last night. It's like 9:30, and I'm trying to, as Eric succinctly put it, just stay off of social. But the president weighed in, and if it's on sports, then I have to talk about it. Donald Trump reading what he tweeted. What he tweeted. This is word for word for those of you that are just like fake news and all that stuff. This is, you just heard from what Goodell said, and here's what the president said. Could it be even remotely possible that in Roger Goodell's rather interesting statement of peace and reconciliation, he was intimating that it would now be okay for the players to kneel in capitals or not to stand for the national anthem, thereby disrespecting our country and our flag? And that came from Donald Trump. Now, all I'm going to say on this is, I'm going to inject in here, if you don't think that there are going to be mass amounts of players kneeling, you just don't get what's gone on here. Now, you can have your opinion on it, can have our opinions on it. Players are going to kneel. That's going to happen. And it's now in a space where, is Roger Goodell going to say anything about Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reid, Kenny Stills, others? Is Colin Kaepernick suddenly going to find his way onto an NFL roster? These are questions that from Friday to now that have been brought up nationally. In my space, the Kaepernick one is one that, if we go back, guys, if you're a Cardinal fan, when Blaine Gabbert was here, and this isn't anything towards Blaine Gabbert as a person, this had everything, every last bit to do with the lack of production by the Cardinals. Every last bit of it. You're paying your money to go watch them play. You're putting in your time to go watch them play. And they rolled Blaine Gabbert out there, and production-wise, it wasn't happening. Meantime, there's Colin Kaepernick over here that production on the field was happening before he was blackballed by the league. So when you look around the NFL, even today, is he out of the league? He's been gone so long, he can't play. What is going to happen on this front? And I think, Eric, that we are using the term tip of the iceberg would probably be an understatement on where things are going to go. Because as you put it rightly, if the NFL says this is what we're going to do, it's the most, what is it, 9 of the top 10 television shows per week during football season are football related, and then there's 60 minutes, and that's it. So this obviously resonates with millions and millions of people. And now that the commissioner has taken this stance, and now the president is pointing out what was said by Roger Goodell. So you have the president with his side, you have Goodell with his side, and you have a lot of people that are just football fans. We're going to run into them. We're going to hear from them. I'm done with the NFL, or let's embrace the NFL even more.
Yeah, I don't have anything. I have no comment on what the president tweeted. But in terms of Roger Goodell, the one thing that I took away, and thank you for sending me Peter King's column, and I know we're going to get into that later. But the one thing that I really took away from that is the league is not about Roger Goodell. The league is about the players. Sometimes I think Roger Goodell thinks the NFL is about Roger Goodell, but it's not. It's about the players who make up the league.
Disagree. Disagree.
Okay.
It's about the owners. The owners put Roger out there. It's about the owners making tons of bank off the backs of the players.
But the fans don't care about the owners. They care about the players.
Correct. Correct.
So I think the players are what make up the league. Yeah,
The back end,
the owners drive the bus, but the players are the face. Roger Goodell is not the face of the NFL. He thinks he might be, but he's not.
Well, he's paid to be. They pay him a ton of dough to go out there and take. You don't see Michael Bidwell standing out there on this on a Friday afternoon. Jerry Jones or any of these other.
Yes.
It's Roger that's going to do it, not us. You know, that's what you get paid, $25 million to go do. You're the one that's going to take the tweet from President Trump, Mr. Goodell, right?
Right. But I can imagine when Roger Goodell saw the video collaboration from the mega stars.
Yep.
He probably said, oh, bleeping bleep bleep. And it was like a huge bucket of ice water right smack dab in the middle of his face.
Game's over.
That is the ultimate reality check if you're running a huge business like the NFL.
Yep. And I sent you Peter's article because a 27-year-old white male took the time, was so moved and so disappointed. If you guys haven't read Peter's column on how this video all started, we'll show it a little bit later in the show. It just started by an employee saying this is unacceptable.
And you and I, Brad, have a love-hate relationship with social media. But in this instance, this 27-year-old reached out to Michael Thomas via, I believe it was Twitter or Instagram, not thinking he'd ever get a response. Eventually, the response came, and it snowballed into this ridiculously amazing, powerful video. But that all started from social media. So there's good sides of social media. There's bad sides of social media.
When Tyrann Mathieu, Eric, says, quote, how many times do we have to ask you to listen and what will it take?
Yeah, who's that directed to, Brad? You tell me.
No, right.
And that's not directed towards the owners. That is not directed towards the owners. That is directed to Roger Goodell.
But I think, we're parsing here. But I think that, like, the Fitz essay in the New York Times over the weekend was very well thought out by Larry on many, many fronts.
And, as it always is.
Yeah, and it was fine. But to me, it was the weekend headline was the players putting that video piece together. And Roger Goodell on Friday afternoon saying what he said. The tidal wave hasn't hit yet. When there are games, are there going to be protests on the sidelines, or are players going to stay in the locker room, or will fans, because the marches have been absolutely amazing, are we going to see fans kneel in the stands? I have friends that are on one side of the street on this that are just done with the NFL. They're completely appalled. I have friends that are military that are, no, this is fine. This is what we fought for. White male, high-ranking officials, black, Hispanic, female. I don't know if you saw Maria Taylor's deal on her grandmother. I mean, she was back in the 50s. She was involved in the military and was treated so poorly. And she spoke openly about it this weekend. I mean, it's really crossed, Eric. I can't think of anything. When the Rodney King riots were happening, we're going to have Mark Tucker here in a minute. And Mark was in L.A. when that happened. I can't think of anything in 30 years that I've covered that has been as groundbreaking and changing as what we've seen in the last, unfortunately, 2 weeks because of George Floyd's murder and in sports. Sports has just changed. And on the other side, we're sitting here with these incompetent people on the baseball side of things that just can't figure it out. Then you have the NBA, which has figured out how to play. And the NBA, what Roger Goodell did on Friday, the NBA has been doing for years. I think the NBA has been underappreciated on how well. Shaq was even in on the Drew Brees conference call with all the Saints players. Shaquille O'Neal, of all people, was in on it.
That was by coincidence. That wasn't planned.
No, I know.
That's quite the coincidence. And I think, Brad, not to take anything away from anyone who has penned any sort of story or whatever throughout this mess over the last couple weeks, but video shows passion. It shows emotion. It's raw. And that video with the stars had such a gripping effect because it was a video piece, even more so than if they each like tweeted something out. It was just more powerful because it just hit you like a tidal wave.
Well, you know, I've felt I wrote something last week on the power of you and I doing this, looking at each other and talking, rather than hiding behind this and just saying what and not having any dialogue whatsoever, or seeing players just that was not something that was Hollywood scripted and produced. That was not, hey, we got to get makeup over here.
And that's what made it so great. I mean, like the levels were kind of off and some of it was a little scratchy, but who cares? It's what the message is. It's not the window dressing of what it looks like.
Yeah, we'll show you that in a little bit. Mark Tucker is next as we continue on a Monday. Right, as promised, Mark Tucker is with us. I wanted to have Mark on. Mark is a friend, first and foremost. He went into the National Football Foundation Hall of Fame as the Cush Award winner. That's for years of service, and it's a Lifetime Achievement Award. That happened for the Valley of the Sun chapter just last month. I had a dinner with Mark last week, and just in visiting with him through the years, I know that it's something that he's got a lot in him that he has seen, that he has coached, that he's experienced. He's a 20-year offensive line coach at Hamilton High School. He is a Phoenix firefighter. A lot of depth about him, a USC grad in the NFL with the Rattlers. And with that said, I appreciate my friend Mark Tucker coming on. How are you?
I'm good, big dog. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Let's just start with this. When George Floyd and the murder happened to today, tell me about your life just the last 2 weeks, because it's been 2 weeks since that happened. What's your life been like?
Probably the biggest thing is the outreach from a lot of my friends, and you know, a lot of my friends are Caucasian. I hesitate to use the word white people, and a lot of my friends have reached out. I mean, just across the board, my paralegal called me. You know, everybody from my paralegal to you know, just coaches that I've coached within the past or whatever, and everybody's just kind of reached out and said, hey man, you know, I feel bad because people are kind of like feeling like they need to apologize, or you know, and I get it, because people, you know, they kind of like, hey man, I just never really understood what was going on, and you know, now my eyes are a little more open, and I've actually sat down with people and had conversations and had dinners and tried to explain the, you know, things from my perspective and the, you know, the, I guess the black side of things or whatever. And it's really opened a lot of people's eyes to a lot of things.
If I were to say it's been painful to you, would that be an overstatement, an understatement, or not true? Or what's your emotions been?
Oh, it's run the entire gauntlet, man. You know, it's, you know, as you and I talked about, you know, the Emmanuel Acho deal he did for ESPN that was on Twitter. I played it, you know, a few weeks ago, or, you know, just last week. And I actually played at the station for, you know, my crew that I was on shift with. And I just was I was real with them. And like I tell people, I go, the thing that's hit me the hardest, and, you know, I'm starting to, I mean, I can deal with it now. It just depends, I guess, what mood I'm in. But when he talked about, you know, pulling up to a mailbox, and if there's a white lady, you know, Caucasian lady at the mailbox, he sits in his car. He lives in an affluent neighborhood in Austin, Texas. And here's a man who's, you know, very educated, Texas graduate. You know, he has to sit in his car and allow a woman to get her mail so that he doesn't pose a threat. And it really struck a chord with me because I live in Gilbert and it's the same kind of thing. I pull up to my mailbox and we all had that common mailbox down the street from your house. And I pull up and if I see a Caucasian woman approaching the mailbox or she's at the mailbox, I'd sit in my truck until she gets her mail. And then I get out, walk up and get my mail because I don't want to pose a threat.
Mm. You said something to me at dinner that made me almost tear up. We were sitting there with a friend and you said there's times when, you know, you have your fireman's outfit on and people are there and you're helping them and you're saving them or they're very respectful to you. And there's other times when you walk into an establishment and you feel like people look at you like you've been shit on. And when you said that, Mark, I had chills go through my spine. And can you elaborate on that?
Well, you know, it's like, you know, you show up at a, you know, person's house, you know, I pull up in the big red truck and I get off and I got my navy blues on and I bring bring medic boxes in the house and we start talking to you, evaluating people and, you know, whatever the situation may be. And, you know, whether people see a black firefighter or they just see a firefighter, you know, you're there to help them. So it's they seem to be a little more accommodating versus, you know, if you're just a regular dude in street clothes and, you know, and again, now you and I talked, you know, I know I come off as an intimidating looking guy because I'm 6'3", 300 pounds, you know, well-built, you know, bald head, you know, I probably like I just came out of a 15-year prison sentence. But the whole idea is that, you know, people that know me know I'm the most unassuming person there is. They know I'm probably the biggest teddy bear on earth. At the same time, you know, I'm 52 years old. I've traveled all over this country and I know how to read people. I can read people's faces. You can get a vibe. And yeah, there's times I'll walk in the grocery store or, you know, just any kind of public establishment. Sometimes you get that look like, what the hell are you doing here? Or people like to try to avoid you. You know, and this is pre-COVID. So, you know, I made a statement years ago. I was in a Costco one time and I mean, people in Costco are weird anyway, but
careful now. I'm in Costco on occasion. Hey, I like their hot dogs.
I love Costco, but everybody that has a Costco membership thinks that's their Costco when you got to get the hell out of their way. And
That's true. I got you.
But you know, but people just, you can tell like people give off certain vibes. And so, you know, I'm just like, you know, you call me, if you call 911, I show up, you know, you'd be the most accommodating person on earth, but you know, here you just see this drill looking black guy and he look like he could be, you know, I could be anywhere between a firefighter and an athlete to just, you know, I could be a sanitation worker for all they know. But it's just the vibe and the look you get. And it's not every day all the time, but you just get those particular, you know, looks and vibes every now and then. And you know, that stuff doesn't go unnoticed.
Mark Tucker with us for a couple of minutes. All right, I want to switch gears. You and I both grew up in Southern California, the Rodney King riots. What you're seeing now and what you saw then all those years ago, inside of you, any different feel of like progress by what's been said with the protests or what you saw with Rodney King? Help me out on, because you've been there for both.
Well, I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. It's just, the sad part about it is that you keep having to have, you know, collective events that start to dogpile each other. And it's like, okay, when are we finally going to get a chance to, you know, actually make some progress? So I think in that regard, it is definitely, you know, what's happened in the last couple of weeks is definitely a step in the right direction. You know, and I'll listen to a lot of people, you know, a lot of sports personalities across the country, you know, talk about it because it's been, you know, widespread. You know, right now, at the end of the day, it's just rhetoric, and you know, it's just, it's something that we, you know, as long as we see, you know, people actually making a concerted effort to move towards, you know, putting things in motion and actually making it happen. You know, it's just, you know, as you and I kind of discussed today, you know, I tried to be, you know, cynical about it just because it's in an infancy stage, and that's always here or there. Hopefully, I mean, it just, you get a different feel and different vibe because I think with the advent of social media, it's just, it's more widespread. It's more, you know, well-traveled, if you want to say it that way. And people are really voicing their opinions. And I just think it's reaching a more widespread demographic because of that.
When Roger Goodell released his statement on Friday afternoon, the video statement of 81 seconds long, your former player, what'd you think?
Well, honestly, it sounded like, you know, just your generic canned, you know, some, you know, they have their, whatever you call them, their publicists or whatever, the people that somebody scrambled and typed it up real quick and said, hey, get this out, you know, get Roger on camera and have him say this. Mm-hmm. Just because, and the reason why I say it is because 4 years ago when Colin Kaepernick took a knee and he tried to be as respectful, you know, without, you know, being disrespectful, to take a stance on something, and you cost the guy's livelihood. And then you come back 4 years later and now, oh, we're wrong. And you're only wrong because you caught a bunch of hell for it, in my opinion. You know, it's like, you know, like I said, it's akin to, you know, like I said, there's abuser and abusee, and after the abuser, you know, gets his, you know, chance so many times, and then finally the person being abused is like, okay, you know, I'm sick of this, and, you know, they strike back. So, you know, it's just, I hope that, you know, the NFL follows through, that they just don't dump a bunch of money and say, hey, we're going to back, you know, this coalition or that, whatever. And I hope that they actually, you know, step forward, that the owners step forward and say, hey, you know what, we need to make a true, you know, a chance to make history and do the right thing, and you know, support this whole thing. You know, hire more black coaches. You know, I'm really pissed off that, you know, Eric Bieniemy is a really good friend of mine, and I'm really pissed off that this man can't get a shot at being a head coach in the National Football League, but you'll get to go get a guy with a college, you know, career that's, you know, questionable at best, and you'll give him, you know, a ton of money and a bunch of years on the contract, or you'll go get, you know, a bunch of guys that are, and I know it's a good old boy network in the NFL. It is what it is. I'm going to say what it is. You know, guys take care of each other. But, you know, you have a bunch of retreads, and you got a guy here who, he's a black coach. He relates to his players. He's coached the, you know, the NFL MVP at quarterback and the Super Bowl MVP. And the man's paid his dues, you know, give him a chance. So we'll see what the NFL does moving forward.
And you're talking about Matt Rhule over at Carolina being given the college job to the pro job. And just for context sake with people that are jumping in on this, you, as I mentioned off the top, National Football Foundation Valley of the Sun Chapter Lifetime Achievement Award winner is Mark Tucker. You've coached for 20 years at Hamilton High School, one of the top programs in the state as an offensive line coach. Today is the first day that high schools are being allowed to go back. They've got a social distance and practice. I don't know if you've already been to your practice this morning or if it's this afternoon, but are you going to talk to your guys, your dogs, your linemen, the team at any point about what they're in right now? Because this really is, Mark, from a historical standpoint, it's unprecedented. Yes, there's a lot of lip service. I'll agree with you on that. And where does it go? We'll see. But the last 2 weeks, I've just never seen the nation and the world, worldwide protests come alive.
I mean, I, you know, we started this morning. It's funny you mentioned that because I had a moment where I thought I wanted to say something, but I didn't. You know, I'm hoping that at some point during all this, I may just talk to my guys initially, which is what I'll probably do. Talk to them initially, and then from there, as things kind of, you know, work their way down the line, you know, as we go through our phases, that we can actually be together collectively as a team. You know, I'll say something. I don't know if any of the guys, you know, I don't know if Coach Z feels comfortable, you know, touching on anything. You know, everybody knows I'm pretty outspoken. So, you know, I'll say what I have to say. And, you know, and it's, you know, it'll be the same kind of general conversation I'm going to have with everybody. But yeah, I probably will adjust with my unit first. Just because, I mean, and if I looked at my kids today, I got one, maybe two black kids on the offensive line, and it doesn't mean a damn thing to me. You know, they're all my kids. I love my kids. It was more this morning of the kids were so excited to see me. I was excited to see them. Mm-hmm. You know, we get to get back together and doing what we do. You know, kids never mentioned one thing about it, and nothing was ever brought up. Kids just came in, man, and went straight to work. So it was a good way to start the week off.
Last question. Have I asked you anything or not asked you anything you want to add to our conversation that we've had over the last 15 minutes about what you've seen, where you are, and just taking it all in?
Well, just, you know, you know, this is going to be, you know, it's a systematic, you know, change. It's going to involve some politics and things of that nature. And, you know, I hope that this does going forward. I hope that this is historic and momentous, and it does change things. You know, I can tell you right now, I've been out, you know, I've been shopping and you know, I'm not gonna sit there and say that I've seen any, not that I expect any change in anybody's behavior. I just roll along like Mark Tucker does. I speak to you, you know, I say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, you know, yes, sir, no, sir. Whatever, I'm going to carry myself the way I carry myself. I just want to see things change, and I don't want to be made uncomfortable in situations that I shouldn't have to be. You know, I shouldn't have to be uncomfortable going to my mailbox. I shouldn't be uncomfortable getting in an elevator, you know, at a doctor's office or an office building, and open the door and there's a single Caucasian woman standing there or whatever, you know, it's just it would be nice to I guess, you know, an overall big picture, be comfortable in my own skin.
As always, I appreciate you and your time. Thanks so much. Stay safe. See you down the road.
Thanks, big dog. I appreciate you too.
You got it. There's Mark Tucker. Love talking with him. All right. On the other side, we're going to show you that video of the players that Eric alluded to that was released. We'll get to that. That's next. All right, Eric rejoins us. So let's, this video, when did you first see this player video, by the way?
I saw it probably 2 hours after it came out. I was gone doing something and I didn't have my phone. And then I came back and, you know, opened up Twitter and, oh, what's trending? Oh, this is trending. Oh, what is this? And then I saw my timeline. Every single person was retweeting it, liking it, commenting on it. So
it's captivating. I mean, it's powerful. It's
so powerful.
Yeah. You don't watch it. You don't watch it once. All right. So here is the video that Eric's been alluding to that came out from the players. We'll talk about it on the backside.
It's been 10 days since George Floyd was brutally murdered.
How many times we need to ask you to listen to your players?
What will it take
for one of us to be murdered by police brutality?
What if I was George Floyd?
If I was George Floyd?
What if I was George Floyd?
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 I am George Floyd.
I am Breonna Taylor.
I am Ahmaud Arbery.
I am Eric Garner.
I am McCormick Dunn.
I am Tamir Rice.
I am Trayvon Martin.
I am Walter Scott.
I am Michael Brown Jr.
I am Samuel Du Bois.
I am Frank Smart.
I'm Philip White.
I'm Jordan Baker.
We will not be silenced.
We assert our right
to peacefully protest.
It shouldn't take this long to admit.
So, on behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
We, the National Football League,
admit wrong and silencing our players from peacefully protesting.
We, the National Football League,
believe black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
That was all put together in, I believe Peter had 20 hours from when it first started with a employee in NFL media that was not happy with the league and their lack of being out front, lack of being committed. It took a 27-year-old who thought for sure he was going to lose his job. I mean, what did you take from it?
I thought it, like we talked about, I mean, it's incredibly powerful. And I think one of the big mistakes the NFL did in their initial statement that they put out, they referenced money. They referenced how much the NFL has donated to this cause and how much the NFL has donated to that cause. The players don't want to hear that. Like, that is coach speak when it comes to, like, the real life crisis that we're going through. And as you look back, Brad, as we talked about this timeline, it's just easy to see the missteps that the NFL made until Goodell's Friday announcement or video.
And DeAndre Hopkins was in that. So,
as was Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
And Tyrann Mathieu. There were definitely some cardinal angles in there.
Yep. And I think there's going to be more over the next weeks. Just what I've kind of heard behind the scenes on the agent front, because talked to some agents on what's this going to look like for your client. Will we see massive change between now and the start of training camp? Will we see massive change between now and 2027? Will we see massive change? That's where I'm at is, okay, you can't just sit there. If in next year's coaching cycle, there's 15 coaches that get blown out, and all 15 coaches are white male, that have coached college with not a great record, as Mark Tucker was alluding to, that a guy like Eric Bieniemy is on the sidelines in Kansas City, but you can take a college coach who didn't win big and give him millions of dollars in Matt Rhule. And, you know, that happened. You could be the Dallas Cowboys and you could go make a coaching hire of just taking a retread. Good retread, but a retread. That's a fact.
Yep, absolutely.
And so... I don't think, Eric, that we can sit here and look at every last hire. I can't, and say, well, they're still getting around the Rooney Rule. Is the Rooney Rule even going to just exist anymore? Is it going to just go away entirely? Because this is the same group that 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago said, hey, let's, we'll give you a fourth round pick if you hire a minority to be the head coach. That was just like a month ago that the NFL owners were voting and debating that. That's how far back they are. And we laughed and made fun of and were critical of that when it took place a month ago. So this could take time.
It's mind-numbing. It's mind-numbing. And reading through Peter King's extensive, well-researched and well-done column, I just wanted to read a couple of quotes that really stood out to me, Brad. One was from Deion Sanders, who I think – in a roundabout way, kind of dumbed down the whole thing. He said, it's not time for the hurry up offense. It's time we huddle and not break until the play is truly understood. Let's exercise unconditional love. Let's stop judging by color or class. And let's remember, as the pandemic has taught us tearfully, we are all in this game of life together. I thought that was just a real basic way of putting it, but in a football context, but with a much bigger meaning on the backside.
I mean, Eric, I feel like there's people out there now, and yeah, it's the off season, but the people that are protesting, it is the younger generation from me. And they don't really care. They don't really care as much about winning games anymore or losing games. It's like, we're going to go put some time into this. And if something is not right socially, they're going to call it out. And I'm in a space, I've got three of my kids that are in lots of different circles, and their friends, what they talk about and what we talk about are like two different languages. And they're willing, like immediately, when is the protest? We are there. We are going to be out. We are not going to accept it. And their voice, while social is part of it, they do have deep, meaningful dialogue.
No doubt.
They're not afraid to stay away from it.
And they're millennials. And we give millennials a lot of shit. They catch a lot of flack.
Yeah,
and in some ways, deservedly so. But Larry Fitzgerald Sr. told you the exact same thing last week. He said, a lot of this positive change has been driven by millennials who are basically saying, no, we're just not going to do it this way anymore. It's not happening.
And then if you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you're going to be like, well, this is how we've always done it. And this group's come along saying, well, that's not how it works. And so you've got this like flashpoint, and the NFL has now gone headlong into it. Because this is not something like concussions where you can open a little website and you can throw a bunch of money at it.
Sure.
And you can show the research and play safe. This is not one of those.
No.
And now you have the president who's looking over at you in an election year. Like, it's gonna be, there's gonna be Sundays if the games are played with COVID out there up until the election day. It's just gonna be a dumpster fire is the wrong way to put it. I think it's gonna be positive for people to just look at themselves and say, I believe in what I believe, and this is how it is. Or maybe I should be a little bit more tolerant. Maybe I don't quite understand what's gone on this. And I've sensed some of that too. So
one more quote I want to read, Brad, came from Nate Burleson, former Vikings wide receiver, who's now a host on NFL Network. In terms of, this is relating to the players. He says, there is no more Charles Barkley, quote, we are not role models, unquote. It should be one of the unwritten parts of every athlete's contract. If we're going to make you one of the richest people in the world, we need you in the community.
So, and I don't know if I agree with that entirely. I don't know if I agree with that.
I do.
Because I understand where Charles is coming from. Some dads, and maybe it's my lens of having a single mom. Some dads should not be role models. Some dads can't be role models. And the role models are the basketball coach in my space, or my college professor who encouraged me to get out of college and just get into broadcast. Sometimes it isn't always, I've got to be a role model. Sometimes.
But in terms of making change,
the
stars have star power. And people gravitate towards that star power. I think that's kind of what he was referencing. But yeah, I agree with you. I do agree with what you said earlier. So,
all right, good stuff. Stay safe. Good seeing you.
You too.
Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He's the Iron Man. Our television show, Jordan, is hosting this week. I'm heading off for a 31st wedding anniversary, something that 31 years, man, oh, man. So we will be out the next few days, but the show goes on. Jordan will be in this space. Have yourself a great and safe day.